Next item is Virginia Water Holdings LLC, Oyster Planting Ground Application. Mr. Stagg, good morning, sir.
Good morning. So we do have a pending oyster ground application. This is one of our older ones. I'll explain a little bit why it's so old as part of my presentation. But this is an application from Virginia Water Holdings, LLC, requesting to lease approximately 100 acres within the Chesapeake Bay in Lancaster County. The application is protested by numerous adjacent nearby Highland property owners. So this is located offshore of Fleets Island area. There's a subdivision here called Henry's Island, and then there's a sort of a separate subdivision to the north. We have protestants that from each of those neighborhoods for this application. Again, there's another another adjacent application just to the north that is the next case. So this is a aerial photography of the area depicting both the Virginia Water Holdings application and the other application to the north. We did receive the Virginia Water Holdings application back in August of 2014. We did subject it to our normal public interest review. In the use plan questionnaire that we do include with the applications, Mr. Tom Perry, who owns Virginia Water Holdings LLC, indicated that he did propose to use this lease if granted for on-bottom structures, which per our regulation, he could put up to 12-inch bottom cages or structures of some type as long as it didn't extend more than 12 inches on the lease without any additional permit. At the same time he applied for this lease, he also applied for a float permit, also in 2014, and that was the subject of a separate public interest review. It was protested by some of the nearby residents, and it was subjected to a commission hearing. That permit was approved in September for 500 floats, up to 500 floats. The reason for the delay in getting this one surveyed and on the agenda was initially we had a considerable backlog. We had a surge in applications in the 2014-16 time frame, where we went from approximately 100 applications to 300 per year. However, we also contacted Mr. Perry in 2016 about surveying this one, and he indicated due to other business-related matters that he would prefer to hold off on having it surveyed. We honored that for some period of time, but due to the nature of the age of this application, we did consult him earlier this year and say we really need to get this resolved, either proceed with the survey and try to resolve the protest, and if we couldn't, we bring it to the commission. So that brings us to where we are now. We did survey this application in September of 2019. So this looks a lot like what you just saw. We did survey the area pretty much. This is what he asked for. This red box does indicate the area as staked. You will note to the southwestern portion of the lease, there are a number of houses along the shoreline there at the end of Baywater Drive. Some of the protests, most of the protests are from that neighborhood. We do have a couple of protests from the neighborhood to the north where you see the breakwater structures. The floating apparatus, you can see it in this photo. It's a little hard to see on the screen, but there are some lines of floats here that you can see if you look really closely. So those floats would be within the footprint of the lease if it's granted, but they are properly permitted. Just a little bit more background on the float application. This is the application drawing you submitted for the floats at the time. A little closer view of the square. And again, it's about 500 by 600 foot area. And there are floats deployed there. The use of cages and floats and nets for shellfish propagation has resulted in increased public awareness of leasing of bottomlands and highlighted the necessity for a more comprehensive review of such applications related to aquaculture activity. Such requests in populated areas raise issues regarding public trust lands to include user conflicts, property values, aesthetics, navigation impacts, and suitable bottom types. Stewardship of public trust lands, while weighing the public and private benefits versus the detriments, requires a multifaceted review of such shellfish lease applications. We do evaluate each case on a case-by-case basis, considering all the comments received and the items just previously noted. There is no submerged aquatic vegetation in the footprint of this lease area being requested. Beginning back in October of 2014, after we published a public notice, we did receive quite a few letters of opposition and emails to the proposed lease. That number eventually reached 16 individual property owners. Some of those, I think, are actually husband and wife, but we counted them individually because we got individual letters. Most of the protestants live or own property along this reach of shoreline and the shoreline to the north of the application. The nature of their objections and their letters and emails are in your packet include concerns about noise, adverse viewshed, navigation, endangering of birds and tiger beetles, litter, shore erosion, potential lost gear, and or oysters actually washing ashore, commercial operation near a residential area, and possible infection from oysters or shell if interacted with walking along the near shore area. Many of the initial objections also noted an objection to floats being used in the area. It should again be noted that this lease grants no additional right for floats, and that float permit was issued by the commission after a public interest review to place up to 500 floats. Additionally, we received some concerns about the actual float application, actual floats related to birds, and I'll address that slightly more later in the evaluation. So as surveyed, the inshore boundary of this surveyed area ranges approximately 190 feet to 350 feet offshore mean low water, and is approximately 150 feet offshore the closest pier that you can see in that picture. However, the use of bottom cages is regulated here, so if Mr. Perry wishes to put cages on these in that area that's nearest to the piers or anywhere on this lease that would cause more than a minimal impact in navigation, the Commission has the authority to review that complaint, and if deemed appropriate, we can require the cages to either be moved to another location on the lease or removed entirely. Additionally, it does not appear that placement of cages, if this lease is granted, would impact birds or tiger beetle habitat, as all of this area is offshore and subaqueous bottomland. Underwater on-bottom structures should not present any viewshed issues other than the fact that areas where cages are placed on a lease, per regulation, do require some marking, at least two placards indicating underwater structures, and the footprint of the area where the cages are being placed also should be marked. So there would be some additional stakes. While there is always a danger of infection when interacting in the waters of the bottomlands of the Commonwealth, the Vibrio bacteria that some of the protestants noted does occur naturally in our Virginia waters, and infection, while very rare, could occur from any wound interaction and interaction with the water. So here's the number of protest letters that are in your packet. Like I said, it does total 16. There was one additional received after this slide was made. And this is the actual plat of the survey. Again, it's basically just a rectangular area. As I noted earlier, it does range from about 150 feet to 350 feet offshore, depending on the location along the shoreline. And it is offshore of all the piers along that shoreline. Having said that, while staff understands that the use of on-bottom structures often creates concerns for nearby property owners, the applicant must adhere to our current regulations related to placement of such structures. Further, per the applicant, there will likely not be daily husbandry activities at this site. Bottom structures will not be visible, and the applicant would be responsible for property maintenance and retrieval of any gear that may be displaced in a storm event. Therefore, after reviewing the protestants' objections and considering all the factors contained in Code of Virginia 28.2607 and 28.2125, subsection A, staff does recommend approval of leasing 100 acres of grounds to the Virginia Water Holdings LLC company, as shown on the plat, shown on the screen here, dated September 6, 2019. I'd be happy to try to address any questions.
Questions of Mr. Stagg? Mr. Ballard.
I just want to make sure I'm clear. So we have, in 2014, approved 500 floats in right. that exact area.
Yes.
And now this is the bottom underneath those floats
yes.
and some additional layers.
That is, I know it's hard to see on the screen. I can see it pretty clearly on the computer, but that rectangle is right here. And you can see the floats in this photo.
Okay.
And the application was received right around the same time. Float application and the lease application.
Further questions? Thank you, Ben. Is the applicant present or represented? Yes, sir, could you come forward, please? Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
Yes, I do.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Thomas Waters Perry IV.
Yes, sir. Proceed.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Ben. Appreciate the presentation. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate the opportunity to get here and speak. I'll try to be as quick as I possibly can. We've been operating for about 5 years now, running a somewhat successful operation. Our focus has primarily been on floating aquaculture gear. It's really what our business has been around. I'd like to think we've been doing a pretty good job doing this. Really, nobody was doing this before on the Chesapeake Bay. So we've kind of brought this new idea here to Virginia. We've since then experimented with some other areas with some on-bottom applications as well. So we're seeking the bottom ground really at the, you know, talking to like a lot of the VMRC staff at the very beginning of this, they suggested that we should also have the bottom ground to ensure that there is nobody else is able to lease the bottom right from under us. So part of this is security. Also, our floats are designed to sink in case of a storm. In the current application, we are actually have a Category 2 or larger hurricane is coming. We're actually taking all the floats and putting them in a protected area, not too far away on bottom. It would make a lot more sense for us just to sink them on the bottom. Currently, we're not able to do that because the bottom is not permitted. And we'd like to certainly maintain, adherence to the rules if that were to happen. Also, occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally, one of these floats can sink to the bottom. So sometimes we do have a cage on the bottom. Which isn't really permitted. We will go out there, we'll rise it, and replace the float that may have been damaged or just natural wear and tear. See here. And then we certainly obviously would like the opportunity to put bottom cages there to grow oysters as well. For the record, the largest property owner, which is right behind where the floats are currently, Susan Harwood, is in favor and support of what we have been doing in the past and our growth into the future. So that's really all I have for now. Any questions?
Any questions of the gentleman? Mr. Tankard?
You know, I read over the protestants' remarks. There's a pretty consistent theme that, hey, this young man has 25 acres already. Why isn't that good enough? Can you tell us why? In fact, you need, you mentioned now that you've got the floats of the 25 acres, the rectangle originally permitted, but I didn't really understand why you need more than the 25.
Well, for more aquaculture.
You're good on bottom in the other area, correct?
Which other area are you talking about?
The additional acres that you're applying for.
We currently are not doing any on bottom there.
Okay. So that's what you're going to do here?
Sure.
All right.
Further questions? Tell me again exactly what you're going to do here? Because I didn't quite understand.
There's a couple different things. So
yes, please,
we're
going to
grow
know.
Oysters on bottom. And we'd also like the ability to put the current floats that are there on bottom if necessary in a storm event. Those are really the two main issues. And then if a cage happens to sink on a line, it's going to be sitting on bottom, which already happens from time to time. So we would just like to be in good, you know, adhere to the rules. And currently, if a cage is on bottom, we'd be breaking a rule just because one would happen to be sinking.
Ben, can you help me? I'm not understanding this.
Go ahead. So I don't want to say what he's saying, but I believe what he's asking for is he may want to put bottom cages here, which would be allowed.
That's what the narrative says. That's why I'm...
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
What he's added to the mix, which I don't know that I was fully aware of till he just said it.
My point exactly.
The floats, I believe, are greater than 12 inches if they were to sink with the float and everything on them. So he would need a general permit for to do that, but to do that, you have to have a lease. So the general permit four is only when you have a lease and you want to put structures greater than 12 inches on the bottom. So he is correct that if he got this lease, he could do 12-inch cages or bags or whatever up to 12. But also he could sink the floats, or if one sank and he got a general permit four, he'd be legal because those would be higher than 12 inches, but they'd sit on the bottom. That would require a separate application. But he can't really apply for that, and you're going to hear this in the next case too. He can't really apply for the general permit four until he has a lease, because you can only get a general permit four on a lease. Otherwise, it's just a permit.
So this is step one to what I think he ultimately has intimated to myself and to Mr. Tankard that he intends to do. Is that correct?
But it sounds like you said two things, and I'll let him answer. But one, if a float inadvertently sinks, and he's gotten a general permit for, he's good. He's not worried about violating the law. Or if he just wants to put cages greater than 12 inches or sink these floats instead of move, he does have a permit to move these his floats to a bayed area during a storm, but he doesn't have authorization to sink them here on his current permit. He could either get a justice permit to do that, his regular subacreage permit, or if he leases this, he could come back and ask for general permit for. And that would allow him to sink these cages, these floats. These are made to be able to sink. They have a screw-on cap that you can allow water.
Yeah, I understand that. Right. But I understand also that the line in your narrative indicates that the use plan questionnaire is completed by Mr. Tom Perry of Virginia Water Holdings, LLC, indicates the applicant proposes to use the area, if leased, for on-bottom structures. That's at that instant moment, correct?
And I'll let him address that, but that was 5 years ago. A general permit four is that old, mm-hmm. But whether he contemplated what he's just told you that far back, I don't know, when you filled out the questionnaire.
Okay, I think. Tell me what you plan to do with this oyster ground.
Yeah, so initially when I got it, I was told that I should apply for the bottom ground because I have floats there, and if you wanted to do on bottom cages, you could. And that seemed to be something I'm getting the oyster aquaculture business. It'd be nice to have some diversity and options, especially since I've never done this in this area before. We have history.
So you could use it for either off-bottom or on-bottom aquaculture,
yeah,
correct?
Currently we do not. We only use it for a floating at the surface of the water column.
Okay.
And at the time, this was a while ago, it'd be nice to have the option to do both. And I knew that there was a pretty substantial backlog in applications, and I didn't know how long this would take, and it was just something that we put in the pipeline and address it when we got there. Since then, since I've been operational, I have noticed that I couldn't foresee cages would possibly sink, and then they're going to be on the bottom. I couldn't foresee us just sinking everything there because I thought maybe it was too rough or not deep enough. Now I believe that we could sink our gear there if necessary in a storm, and I think it would be very beneficial for us to do that. And I also like to grow oysters on the bottom there.
Okay.
So.
All right. Mr. Ballard, do you have a question?
If I remember correctly, when we approved the floating permits in 2014, there was a staged scale-up, is that correct? We approved a certain number, and then you were able to increase and grow, or am I mixing up my cases on that?
I think I had a multi-year idea of how I would approach my business, but there was the permit. Well, I was permitted for 500 floats from the very beginning.
Okay.
So,
Mr. Stagg?
Just to clarify, I did take a look at that, and if my memory serves me correctly, he did ask to do more than 500 initially, but as part of the process, and it was protested, we gave him a permit for 500. He has the right to come back and request a modification, but he's not authorized to do any more than 500 at the moment. If he wanted to do more, he could come back and ask to modify that permit. We'd be going through another public interest review.
Further questions? Mr. Tankard.
So I'm just going to round back up on when you said I'm going to be on the bottom. You're talking about cages on the bottom, correct? The other acreage that you want to have, not shell on bottom, cages on bottom.
Yes, sir.
And they'll be 12 inches above bottom.
Yes.
Okay. So what happens when you, and my follow-up question is,
yes, sir, please.
When you sink the floats you currently have, will they be on the bottom directly, or will they also be off the bottom by 12 inches?
So they would be on the bottom, but currently I can't under the permit. They would be in violation if I were to be granted this permit and I would put the cages on the bottom. It would be illegal because I think they're like 14 inches off bottom. But I can't get the JP4 to get approval for a little bit extra. You can't have that unless you have this permit first.
Okay.
So this is part of the step.
Now that I understand.
All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Further questions? All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else in support of this project? Anyone here in opposition to the project? Could y'all please come forward? Raise your right hands, please. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Who's going to go first?
I guess I will.
Could you proceed?
Something first.
Go ahead.
Your name, please, ma'am?
I'm sorry, Karen Loper.
Okay. And if you could stand behind the podium so we can hear you a lot better.
We're at a bit of a disadvantage here due to the timing of this hearing. We have significantly different concerns about this lease application now, seeing how the application has been used so far with the floating cages. So we didn't have time to get letters out. We have different protest letters. And we have protest letters here, and we have pictures. If we had known we could do a PowerPoint, we would have brought the computer. But can we hand you, like, an outline of our protest now and pictures?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
Seth, I'll assist you.
We have enough for each person. Protest letters I have are on my phone, and in an email, because again of the late notice we got for this hearing. Actually, our understanding was this whole issue had been resolved. Mr. Perry was not going to be putting any more floating cages out, but anyway, we were just caught off guard with this hearing. So,
what my wife, my name is John Loper. What my wife is trying to say is we didn't get notification of this from Ben Staggs until like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks,
yes.
Somewhere in that time period. So it's a scramble, and I apologize that this is my first appearance, our first appearance, in front of a commission, so we may not know all the what we need to have in place.
Well, we don't bite, and we will assist you in any way we possibly can without prejudicing the case.
Thank you.
Sir.
What I want to direct you to is to the pictures.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about three major objections that we have. And I should tell you where we had owned or bought 724 Baywater Drive. You've got a second letter that my wife gave you from Mike and Courtney Barrett. They bought the house in 699 and essentially the same time period in 2015. The floats were already in present. What I'd like to three points that I want to address is location of the lease application, the stewardship of that application, as well as environmental impact. All right, I understand that what's being requested is to put cages on the bottom. But first, I want to talk about the location of the lease. This is in the north-south axis, if you will, of the bay. We face east, and since we've owned it in 2015, we've experienced two hurricanes, a tornado coming from the northeast. We've lost. The neighborhood has lost 8 trees in the last hurricane. The gentleman, I don't know if that I'm allowed to say, forget. The floats are not designed, they may be designed to sink, but they don't survive the strong, violent storms that we experience coming from the northeast.
That's based on your observation?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir.
And on picture one was a picture I took in 2017, and it looks to be a pretty mature field of 500. Last weekend, pictures two and three are ones that I took that shows that that field is pretty much decimated. Now, every storm since we've owned this property, there has been floats, cages, oyster bags that have floated up onto or washed up onto the shore. Pictures, bear with me, pictures 4 through 8. The first two pictures were some that were not there 2 weeks ago because we were there at our property. This weekend, there's these, what is this, 5, 4 floats, 3 oyster bags. Further up the beach going north, there is the third picture that shows the cage attached to a float. The next picture is another float that's been washed up. Our neighbor's house, 699, the next picture, he has been collecting these floats. So,
In the just recent storms, these pictures, the storm damage, debris here, we don't have pictures going back over the past 4 years, but this happens with every storm.
Regularity.
The debris up on the shoreline.
So it just seems that where the current is, where the storms are, the fact that it's the full brunt from a nor'easter just rips the floats out of their moorings, and then it just litters the shoreline. And this happens with gust storms, not that would be classified as a hurricane. We've never seen any evidence of these floats being pulled to a safe harbor or even lowered, if that was possible. So the question then becomes stewardship. I don't think he's an effective steward on the floats that he has, and these storms are still going to rip through, and I have no confidence that the cages that are now 12 inches below the water are going to stay in place. They're going to go somewhere, and that, the whole goal for oyster farming, some of it's for profit, but for the community, it's filtering the bay. The problem is they have to stay in the water to do that function. When they wash up on the shore, depending on how old those oysters are in those bags, they're going to die. Adult oysters will die in the absence of water. That means they're going to start to putrefy. It means they're going to stink.
And they do.
And it's going to bring in hundreds of flies.
And we've seen this on the shoreline on a number of occasions, these rotting oysters in the bags, washed up on our shore, attracting flies and smelling. You can't even walk out in your front yard if there's a
I think the location of the leases and the fact that it is in, looking from our bay water side of the house, you cannot see land looking east. So this is a very wide piece of the bay, which means with the volume of water, the storms intensified, the violence, the disruption, the ripping of these floats, and I have no confidence that these cages, I mean, this is not an isolated cove. This is not a river. This is full force of the strength of nature coming from a storm. Now, okay, so we talked about location, which I don't think makes any sense at all. Two, we've talked about stewardship. The materials are there for weeks on end, the debris from this float field. The bad luck, oysters that were alive, dead, stink. We've talked about that. I want to talk about the environmental impact. With that, I want to refer to picture 11, 12, and 13, 9 through 11. We kayak, we bought the place to swim, to use that bayfront recreationally. What you have in this float field is now dry, not wet, dry havens for seagulls to collect. And when we've gone kayaking on numerous occasions, you can find as many as 2 to 3 seagulls sitting on each float. Okay, we'll say that not all of them, but that's over 1,000 seagulls that you're concentrating in one area that normally wouldn't be there. Well, seagulls have, when they fly, they leave waste behind. That waste gets washed out, but
But if you look at the picture, you can see that the cages and the floats are absolutely covered with excrement. And we're not talking just a little bit. We're talking covered solid white. You can actually see this from the shore. You can see the white on it. You know, we can see it up close on kayaks. So our concern is the concentration then
of fecal matter
in that
small
area.
Now, what that's going to do is going to increase the carbon footprint. It's going to increase the nitrogen footprint. It's going to increase the phosphorus footprint.
If this gentleman had nothing but on-bottom cages, would that be problematic to you?
I do not believe, because of where it's located and the strength of the storms at this portion of field, they would stay there.
Okay.
All right. And there's an article written by the director of Wildlife Center of Virginia, Waterfowl Habitat and Degradation. He talks about that large number of waterfowl in small areas can have serious impact on the surrounding environment. The feces can generate can decrease the oxygen levels. It can increase the carbon, phosphorus, nitrogen, their nutrients, so they can promote growth that we don't want, algae, but they can also, and he says, result in fish kills. Now, I have heard from a friend of mine who's fished this area for years around the point where a lot of boats, fishermen come from the marina, but there is this section. I don't have the map in front of me. It'd be close to where I guess the 3 is on the map above, number 3. Do we have a pointer? Yeah, okay. I mean, we're here. But this here is where the fishermen, we see them every day that we're there. And what I've been told by a person who fishes there and fishes there for years, the volume of fish is way down. So,
if they're spot and croaker, they're down a lot of places, though, I can tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah, no argument, but it just seems.
If y'all can wrap up and tell me why you don't want this project to be approved.
One, I think it impedes our use of the water. I think that
on bottom cages
will not survive the storms that come rolling through this area. And I think it's a health hazard in terms of, we talked, that gentleman then talked about, you know, I mean, if we use it, for recreation purposes, you got to envision that people are going to fall. They're going to need to put their feet down. They can easily get themselves cut.
Okay.
On the cages. Also, just a couple more things. I know. Okay, you're done. Okay, just about. We were just wondering, have environmental impact studies actually been done with this possibility of excrement the floating cages? And also,
I forgot about the dolphin.
Yeah, so NOAA has recommended, based on their studies, that, if you have migratory patterns of dolphins, you need to site, be careful where you're siting these kind of projects, these oyster beds, because research indicates ropes and cables attached to floating cages could pose an entanglement hazard. The cages and floats themselves could lead to dolphin drownings, and indeed there was a drowned dolphin up on the shore last month.
Do we know that it drowned, or do we know that it died of a virus?
We do not know. I'm just citing the NOAA study. That is a possibility. There was dolphin. Whether it's coincidental or not, I don't know.
Okay.
There's a lot more I can say. I know you're in a hurry, but it's basically...
We're not in a hurry. We just want to get to the bottom of it, and I think that you've made a lot of good points.
Okay. And one more thing, the stewardship issue. Well, let me just say, we're a neighborhood of small houses, if you look at the map. Right. We're nine small houses. These were built in the 50s, built by hands. I think every little cottage there, we're talking 1,000-foot cottages.
I grew up in Claremont, Virginia. Know it well.
Okay. We're not mansion, big property, wealthy property owners.
Yes, ma'am.
We bought it for the view. And, Mr. Bowman, I was actually, really pleased to... hear that you appreciated the concerns of property owners for aesthetics and you appreciate the natural beauty. Well, our original letters spoke to that. We bought for the view, unobstructed. We have family members with disabilities. They come, they love the water, they love the view. But even getting off the view, again, we just want to know, why is it that property owners don't have rights? Why can't we be owners of these leases, and then we could have... You don't want me to say
I believe a separate question.
Well, that's true. I'm just wrapping up here. It's a
riparian lease, depending on how much water frontage that you have and what you can get.
We can do that.
Like,
yeah, I'm not sure we have the 200-foot frontage. But even in front of us, if we were to acquire this lease, we would be responsible for the subletting. Now, I heard Mr. Perry say, which I wondered and really frightened me, so he has bought this, and this is money-making, too. He can sublease this to other oystermen and be making more money that way. But who's going to be policing this? Who's responsible then for the bad stewardship and the non-maintenance of the oyster fields? If it was owned by property owners, we would be making sure the sublease letters were complying with, all the codes they should be, and, so many things to say. So we understand, that we don't own the water. We understand that we don't own the water, but neither do they.
We're the fiduciary agents of the water bottoms of the Commonwealth of Virginia under the public trust doctrine. We're going to do our best to make sure that they're allocated in an appropriate way.
Okay. And I guess one more thing. If Mr. Perry has not been responsible steward for his little acreage, he's now farmed the 500 floats and the 250 whatever feet that was, why do we expect him to be a good steward in over 100-acre lease?
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Anyone else in opposition to this project?
Positions, but due to the Thanksgiving holiday, everybody was going out of town except us.
So raise your right hand, ma'am. You solemnly swear to testify you give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got.
State
your name for the record, please.
Barbara Ann Carrow.
Yes, ma'am. Tell me what you think's wrong with this project and why it shouldn't be used.
We've been down there 27 years, and when they came in, first of all, we weren't notified for the first time. It was never mailed to us. We didn't know it was coming. In fact, we looked out one day, and we saw these, all this oyster beds and so forth floating up there. So we weren't notified back then. So, of course, the problem is, they want to expand and they want to go on with it. Okay, maybe I can't, or maybe, that's the way you're all going to vote, but they don't clean up their mess. I mean, every time the storm comes, there's pictures. They come in, they hit our docks, they hit our land. They don't come get it. Basically, my husband's disabled now. There's a lot of older people down there. We can't get them up like we used to.
Nor should you have to.
Well, you'll see pictures, and they're under the stairs, and then we have kind of a cement barrier, I guess you would call it, and these crash up against it. The neighbors pick up all the stuff. The pictures you see, mainly they picked up and got out of the way of the children. They don't clean up. Now they want to go make more when they don't even maintain what they've got. When they started out, they were nice rows and even and everything, and they came every day, twice a day, morning and afternoon, and they would walk, you know, take care of it. But over the years, it doesn't happen that way anymore. And when storms come, they don't come pick up any of it. And it's really... And it's a menace. I mean, it's our property, and the beach we used to be beautiful for the community. And you go out there any after any storm or northeastern, you'll see 7 or 8 of those cages just laying everywhere. And they're expensive, but they don't come get them. And if they do come get them, and because all of a sudden they were being cleaned up, and then we got notified we're coming to court. Well, even if they did do that, they come to our property. It's not, you know, down my backyard, they drive in there, no permission, no nothing, go down there, and they go get them up. There's a road. Before our property, if you come to the left, there's a road that would go back in there. Yes, it goes through the woods, but it would take them down to the beach. They have no concern. I mean, they don't call and say, can we go down, can we tramp through
there? That's an upland issue. I understand where you're coming from, but that's an upland issue to be handled under the trespassing statute, so I understand that. But yeah,
the courtesy would they
yes,
go another way down there.
Yes,
you know? So I'm just saying they haven't really given us any consideration from day one. And the first time I ever met the gentleman, he came to my place of business, which was how many years ago now when he started this. And I put up a notice, and a lot of people, you know, agreed. And I was trying to get people to support us. And he came to me in my business and said who he was and introduced himself, and he said, what is your problem? Just like that. I said, what do you mean what's my problem? Why are you doing this? And I said, would you like this in front of your home? And you know what he said? No. When he said that, I looked at him and I said, well, then you answered your own question. So, you know, this is the way it's been from get-go, from the start.
Okay. Okay. Any questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Wood, you get 3 minutes to rebut. Or anything you'd like to tell the commission based on what you've heard today?
So thank you guys very much. Appreciate that. I just want to come back to the initial conversation of applying for on bottom ground, and this is nothing. Didn't seem like it was really about that. I also think it's grossly overstated. I'd like to think we've done a very good job being stewards. As of recent, there has been some cages getting loose due to some old lines, and we're replacing some things. And I absolutely want to get better as a business owner and operator, and I'd like to increase lines of communication. I have not received any phone calls or any form of communication from any homeowners. We're also not currently directly in front of any homeowners. We're just south of the breakwaters, and then where these people live here, we're just a little bit north. We're directly in front of Susan Harwood's property, and where we have had some cages go to the shore, it's mostly been on her beach, and she's been very open and has picked up the phone and called me when something has been a problem. But we are undergoing repairs at the lease. It's been there for 5 years. We're once using half-inch line, we're moving everything to much thicker line, so this stuff doesn't happen. Again, this is about the bottom ground, not about the joint permit application. I just want everybody to keep that in mind. So, thank you.
Further questions, the gentleman, Mr. Ballard.
Would you say that having this lease might even address some of their concerns if you were able to sink the cages and get the general permit number 4 because it's a safer area to store the cages in a storm? They're not on the surface. They're down below where it's less turbulent. Is that fair to say?
Is it fair to say that it would subdue some of their
issues
feelings?
With the cages breaking free?
Yeah.
And
I don't know.
Shoreline.
Yeah, you have to ask them. I wouldn't know.
Further questions? All right, thank you, sir.
Okay, great, thank you.
Matters before the... Jeff, Ben, or something?
Just
he's correct. We're really not talking about the floats, but I think because it's been raised, and I think stewardship is important, and you've heard what the residents have said. I had not gotten that level of complaint about loose gear. Some of the letters did say that there was occasionally a float that would wash up on shore.
You seen the pictures?
His current permit is up for his 5-year renewal for the floats. So I will work with him a little more diligently on upgrading his equipment, see what he's getting ready to do related to that. The commission does not have to renew the permit. We can review it again at the end of 5 years.
And he's what
at
is
his,
that?
He's at his, it's right now. It's expired, actually, but I'm working with him on his bond. He does have to have a bond for these floating gear. We require that for floating gear. And his bond had expired at the end of his 5 years. He's working with the bank to get another one. So that's one thing I'm working with him with on. I will work with him additionally on this gear issue that I've heard today. And third, the bird issue. So when we issued this permit back in 5 years ago, the ISSC, the Interstate Shellfish Sanitation Conference, which is the governing body for how shellfish is regulated in the United States, and we operate under a model ordinance, which is adopted by that body. And right around the time of this application, aquaculture was a hot item. I believe after this application was received, adopted some language to include an extensive section in the model ordinance about aquaculture, intensive aquaculture like this, cages and floats. And that's been amended a couple times. It was amended again this year at the meeting just a month ago. To address bird and mammal issues with floats and aquaculture structures. I am working also with, I've seen these pictures that the people submitted. I've informed Mr. Puri that is an issue. It's in the model ordinance that the authority that permits these, which is us, has to address if we believe there is a bird issue here with fecal contamination. I've been working with VIMS on this too. And the health department. And the health department just in the last week and a half determined that based on the pictures and the location here that they did deem this to be an issue. So per the model ordinance and per renewing this permit for another 5 years, I'm in talks with Mr. Puri about how he's going to address bird issues. This means deterring birds from landing on these things. So he's got to come up with a method. So all of those things are part of this renewal. Again, this is not this lease application, but I think because of the issues that have been raised about the gear and the stewardship of it, that you need to understand that we are attempting to address all the issues that have been raised today related to this float permit.
Well, at this juncture, correct me if I'm wrong, he's asking for something that supplements this lease that's up for renewal. Is that correct? Would that be correct?
I guess you could characterize it that way. The comments he's made today would indicate that if he could get this lease, he would do bottom cages, which he'd be allowed to do, which is totally separate from his floats. And that's really what we're here about, is the lease application and what he can do legally on it, which uh-huh. He can put cages up to 12 inches. He could then seek a general permit for, which would allow him to go more than 12 inches, which would then allow him to sink some of these floats, and I think Mr. Ballard was correct. The theory would be, if properly secured in a storm, the floats might be better off sunk than leaving them on the surface. So this is a separate application just for a lease, but unfortunately it is intertwined with these floats to some degree, both by fact and by comments that have been made today. So I don't know how the commission wants to treat that, but I think staff looked at this as this lease could be complementary to fixing some of the problems with the floats, perhaps, because he could sink them. But we are addressing those issues separately. So his permit is up for renewal. We will address the three items I mentioned, bird issues, loss of gear in this area, and stewardship for that permit renewal. This is a lease application that may or may not have some impacts related to that permit. I don't know if that was clear or not.
Well, I think it is. I think we've got a business model issue is what we have here that concerns me. But Mr. Dr. Neal.
It's It sounds like, you know, most of the protests, most we're talking about are these floats, which really isn't on the agenda today.
Right.
This is a whole separate thing. So if I try to ignore this, so I try to unsee these pictures and all that stuff, is this an area that we would typically lease for cage aquaculture? For on-bottom cage aquaculture? I mean, this. I remember this. I remember this was almost done as an experiment. I remember when we did it, we brought all this wind stuff. We brought all these issues up, and that's why we had the five-year, we had the pond, and we put all those conditions on there just because of this.
That's
the
correct.
The possibility of this stuff. But if I ignore all that, is this staff's opinion this is a appropriate area to lease for on-bottom aquaculture?
Well, this is a high-fetch, high-dynamic area. If properly maintained, cages here are probably okay. That's the key, is they have to be properly installed, properly secured. We do have a few leases along the shore like this that are leases, so they are allowed to put cages on. Up to date, we've not had any major complaints. I think today was the worst complaints I've ever heard so far. It's really related to the floats, of gear getting loose. We do look at the fetch, and it is considerable here. We struggled in our recommendation on this one whether we thought it was appropriate to lease this area or lease this whole 100 acres. This is a big area. I mean, this would be a lot of cages if it was. We decided to just survey it as asked for, make a caveated recommendation of approval. Certainly the commission should shrink this some if they believe, you know, this is too large of an area to allow this type of activity to occur over an entire 100 acres. That's up to the commission. We got another one coming right after this one. It's almost exactly like this one. It's about 100 acres. Same situation. Now, the guy's proposal is slightly different on what he plans to do on it than this one, but similar.
Dr. This is Neil.
This is a question I'm, I guess, directing toward you and I guess legal counsel. Is this something that we would be able to put off until we reexamine the permit stuff that we've got with the floats and everything, since that's all being done now also?
What answer? Give me an answer.
I don't see a legal problem with doing that.
I don't see a legal problem with it either. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what I'm concerned with doing. I think we need to take a good hard look at the permit renewal. I think that's got part and part. There's tangible evidence that this didn't go the way that it was anticipated to go. Even with good faith, when y'all decided to do what you did, I wasn't here for what it's worth. So I did not have the benefit of hearing this case. But I think as I'm hearing everything, it was well intended. There was a lot of back and forth. There was a lot of concern about how it would work, may not work, vis-a-vis the bond involved and things like that. I don't think this has gone, from my observations, as it was planned to have gone. So I think what we should do, what I would suggest, without making a motion again, is we need to look at the permit renewal, number one, have staff look at that, and number two, we need to, you can continue, correct? You can continue this lease application to be heard for 6 months. And then move along. Who did I have first then? Which who did I have? Ms. Lusk?
I don't think that that I agree with waiting to continue. I think this is a lease application for, he says he's going to do also on bottom aquaculture. And I feel like, the fact that he has the floating oyster cages in this area is certainly relevant, but that doesn't, whether he has them there or not, he's still applying to do on-bottom aquaculture in this area.
Okay, Mr. Ballard?
I tend to agree with Ms. Lusk on that front, that it's a simple lease application. And just to provide some color, if we were to take it, is more than just a lease application and want to talk about the floats. I can personally testify that there was a manufacturer issue with some of the floating cages where the floats have come loose. I know the manufacturer who is in Massachusetts has been down to Virginia many, many times trying to address this, and it's something I personally have battled with. No matter how many people you have on staff, you're not always able to get them up right at the time. And I mention that solely because I don't think we should be looking at Mr. Perry and saying this is a lack of stewardship. I think it's a new business that the entire industry is trying to be good stewards with, and it might take some time to get it 100% correct. I think Mr. Perry has been an innovator. I think he's taken the Virginia aquaculture industry to places it might not be otherwise. I remember in 2014 when he came before us with 20-inch hair down to his shoulders, and we all looked at him like he was nuts. But he has grown a industry that otherwise wouldn't be there in Virginia, and I think done it very successfully for a startup company. I view this as pretty simple. He's either going to grow cages on the bottom and have we should look at this as just a lease. And further of that, he's testified that if he's able to get a general permit number 4, he would be trying to sink the cages to alleviate a lot of these issues. So this lease application is a method of him to address some of these concerns that are occurring. I don't see a single reason why we wouldn't approve this, but that's my take.
I have Mr. Zedra and then Mr. Tankard.
Is his present application, you said it was expired.
Well, technically he's passed his 5 years, but because we're trying to work with him to resolve issues, we have not taken the step of trying to put it on a commission agenda to rehear it, because if we can address those issues, we will administratively just renew the permit for another 5 years.
Well, is it expired or not?
It is past its expiration date, yes.
So is the gear that he's got on that property now unauthorized and illegal?
I'll let Tony answer that, but I think because we're in negotiation, he asked to renew it well in advance. But because these issues have come up, it takes a while to resolve them. You know, I don't know whether we should issue a temporary extension for 6 months of the permit. We don't normally do that.
Well, if his lease is expired, why isn't his gear out of the water? I mean, what you guys do as a staff has got nothing to do with that.
Probably because I think to speak on staff's behalf, they have not told him to get them out of the water, and they've been working with him in order to facilitate a renewal, if that makes any sense.
I'm going to look at counsel over here. I'm going to ask counsel.
I know the legal answer is probably no. It should have come out of the field. It was a hard and fast rule.
Here is my both practical and legal opinion.
Let's have the legal first.
Okay, the legal opinion is, if a permit is expired, he does not have a permit. The structures are unpermitted. However, the practical matter is that we essentially have two options here. Either tell him he has to take up all his stuff right now and then continue to work with him, which is going to be probably a lot harder once he's had to expend all the money and resources to pull it up, and then reissue him a permit and have him expend more money and resources to put it all back. Or we essentially have what's an administrative extension or an exercise of VMRC's enforcement discretion while we work with him, and then bring it before and make the decision. So, again, VMRC has enforcement discretion. They don't have to, essentially go after everybody. They can make those decisions based on practical considerations as well as legal considerations. And that would be my basis for allowing this to continue while he's actively cooperating with staff.
It's kind of like the parking meter enforcement guy that's expired and the guy gives him a chance to go get a quarter. That's overly simplifying it, but that's kind of where it is. Follow up, please, sir.
Well, that's sort of like me getting my hunting license, and then at the end of the year it expires, and I go out next week and shoot a deer, and am I supposed to be legal?
I'd say it's a little different since you didn't have to, there's a big difference between refraining from going out and shooting a deer and actively pulling up, you know, whatever, 250 or whatever cages when your permit expires. It's more like if someone's building permit expires and they're, you know, 90% complete with the house, but or there's just some things they have to fix. Well, do you require them to tear down the house while you get them back into compliance and you decide whether they can come back into compliance? I see the practical considerations. Technically, we could enforce. We don't necessarily have to. I think VMRC does have that discretion.
I have Mr. Tankard, then Mr. Ballard.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I think I see what's going on here, but I'm afraid I can't get over the testimony, the photos, and some of the commentary that we've seen about what's represented in the photos. I would have a tendency to let him re-up on this deal that he currently has on the 25, and maybe that'll be a good thing, but to lease this company, this gentleman, more acres from what the testimony has revealed today, I would feel as though my vote would be a negligent vote in the affirmative on that. I'm afraid that, trespassing on people's land to collect the property that he won't get by vote, all the issues that have been raised are too much for me to get over to further increase this footprint of this company in our bay.
Okay. Matters before the commission for action.
I just have a question.
Mr. France, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
How deep is the water here, and what kind of bottom is it?
Where's my surveyor?
I'll let him address that question. I believe the bottom is fairly hard here.
Has it been sworn?
Yes.
We sworn. Thank you, sir. Just for the record, state your name, please.
My name is Chris Myers, I'm the surveyor for the northern neck. The bottom there is mostly clay. It's hard. Maybe some sand on there swishing around, but it's really hard.
The depth?
The depth is probably an average of 5 feet.
Okay, thank you.
It's pretty shallow here. You can see the sandbar in the photo there.
One other point, if I could. When we gave the gentleman the lease, one of the things that we thought was that the buoys or the floating cages would have more of an opportunity for success than the bottom cages, because they would be floating and they wouldn't have the opportunity to be tumbled by the waves action, which, as you can see, the fetch is, I don't know how many, 15 miles. So I would call it probably one of the highest activity, or what do you would term, is it that we use energy spots in the Bay Warship.
Further comments? The matter's before the commission. Mr. Zedrin?
I move we reject the lease.
Motion made by Mr. Zedrin to reject the lease. Is there a second?
So moved.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion?
I just think this place is really not suited, I don't think, for floats, but I think it's less suited because of the conditions there for cages. That's just my comment.
That's your back area. You know that better than I do. Further discussion? Mr. Ballard.
I wonder if Mr. Tankard or the maker of the motion would be amenable to, rather than outright rejecting the lease, if we were to give a portion of the lease underneath the current floating cages to allow them to at least proceed with applying for a general permit number 4 or have the bottom under what is currently being farmed rather than just an outright rejection. I'm not sure how big that area would be. I think we talked about 20, 25 acres, something like that.
Where the current structures are supposed to be?
Correct.
Mr. Zedrin made the motion.
Can I ask one on that motion? Would that be bottom cages? Would we be allowed to do the bottom cages proposed in that zone?
Correct. I'm thinking that just approving a bottom lease that such has been applied for, that would just we change the acreage from 100 to 25 or whatever staff seems fit in an area surrounding those floating cages, an outright denial of the application. So I guess my question was to Mr. Zedrin. I'm sorry.
Okay, I would concur in that, and it would be just the ground underneath the present cage, floating cages now. That's what we're talking about, right?
Well, just to clarify, that would be about a little under 7 acres. I would suggest maybe just doing a 10-acre rectangle around it to give a little buffer around it, because they have to mark the area where the stuff is. So, just to give you, that's a tenth of what he's asking for.
Mr. Zedrin, is that approved? Is that suitable to you?
Yes.
Is it the seconder of the motion, is that satisfactory?
Yes.
Okay, the motion is to reduce it to 10 acres under where it's currently under, I would say, cultivation, for lack of a better term, with these floating cages. Those are there, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we understand that 10 acres. Where's the 10 acres located, Ben? Which 10 acres?
So, again, I know it's difficult to see, but the cages are currently right here. So that's where that 10-acre area would be. We wouldn't come any further inshore than we would come with the current. We just basically put a box around the area.
Okay.
Equal distance all along
all
sides.
Right. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Opposed? 1-2. Motion carries 7-2. Thank you.